The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 6th through Sunday, November 12th, 2023. The commentary for November was written by Scott Robinson, who has performed at Renaissance fairs, taught college music, and written for newspapers. He worked as a hospice chaplain for 5 years, and he has been a professed member of the Third Order of St. Francis, a religious order within the Episcopal Church, since 2001. He lives in Philadelphia. The commentary for Monday, November 6th, begins as follows with a passage from the Book of Psalms 57, verse 5b. They have dug a pit before me, but I have fallen into it themselves. Most of us are familiar with Jesus' admonition to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Some traditions have understood this golden rule from a different perspective. What you do not want done to you, do not do to others. One example of the inverse of the parable is found in a story from Esther. Haman, a court official of King Ahasuerus of Persia, planned the downfall of his bitter enemy, the Jewish exile Mordecai. Unfortunately for Haman, not everything went according to plan, and Haman is impaled on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. In Psalm 37, we see this reversal. The wicked draw their sword and bend their bow to strike down the poor and needy, to slaughter those who are upright in their ways. Their sword shall go through their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. And in today's Psalm, Psalm 57, we hear about those who fall into a pit of their own making. Sometimes those who plan harm for others are caught up in their own snares. And now I'm going to read from a passage from the book of Revelations designated for this day. It is from chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. He held a little scroll open in his hand. Setting his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, he gave a great shout, like a lion roaring. And when he shouted, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it. There will be no more delay, but in the days when the seventh angel is to blow his trumpet, the mystery of God will be fulfilled, as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, "Go take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land." So I went to the angel and told him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, "Take it and eat it. It will be bitter to your stomach, but sweet as honey in your mouth." So I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. Then they said to me, "You must prophesy again about many peoples and nations and languages and kings." And the moving forward question for this day is, what do you think of the reading of the Golden Rule? Now we turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 7th. It begins with a passage from Matthew 13, verse 45a. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. The parables of the treasure in the field and of the pearl of great price are placed in such a way that a careless or inattentive reader might assume the pearl, like the treasure, refers to the reign of God. But look again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Emphasis added. What then does the spectacular pearl signify? In a word, us. In the previous parable, the man is enriched by finding the kingdom. In the second, the kingdom is enriched by finding us. We are the pearl of great value. It is for us that God gives everything. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, have you thought of yourself as the pearl God seeks? How does imagining yourself as the treasure in the field shape your relationship with God? The commentary for Wednesday, November 8th, begins with another passage from Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. Here's the commentary. During a break in a long recording session, our producer cellist told us about the experience of being on stage, waiting for my band to screw up, and they always do. After a moment, I quoted the above passage. If Jesus didn't perform under the scrutiny of skeptical eyes and the judgment of unbelieving hearts, what hope do the rest of us have to excel when we have everyone's low expectations to live down to? People surrounded by indifference, hostility, and low expectations are like crabs in a bucket. When one crab tries to crawl out, the rest pull it back in. If we are wondering why we so rarely see miracles, maybe that's why. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor, except in their own country and in their own house. And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, November 8th, is, be honest, do you lift others up or do you tear them down? The commentary for Thursday, November 9th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalm 71, verse 18. Now that I am old and gray-headed, do not forsake me till I make known your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. I was diagnosed with young-onset Parkinson's disease in 2019. After 3 years of misdiagnoses, I was comparatively young and didn't have tremors, that led me through two huge, painful, and ultimately useless neck surgeries. After finally getting a correct diagnosis and appropriate meds, I wrote a book called The Way In, What a Hospice Chaplain Learned Living with Parkinson's, in Poetry and Prose. During readings, I always tell the listeners that I talk about Parkinson's so much because most people who are as sick as I am are old, and no one is listening to them. Many gray heads nod in discouraged recognition when I say that. Some young people are suspicious, mistrustful, and impatient with organized religion, often with good reason. So what are we to pray for when our strength fails, if simply being allowed to live long enough to spread the good news is not enough? And now I'm going to read from the gospel for this day. It is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. At that time, Herod the ruler heard reports about Jesus, and he said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. For Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been telling him, It is not lawful for you to have her. Though Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd because they regarded him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company, and she pleased Herod so much that he promised on oath to grant her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter. The king was grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison. The head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took the body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. And the moving forward question for this day is about the good news. How will you share the good news of Christ today? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Friday, November 10th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 69, verse 7. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be disgraced because of me, O God of Israel. Of all the prayers in the Psalms, this is probably the one I pray most urgently. If people found out my wife and I were separated, they might think, well, his faith is obviously bogus. If they learned about how I bawled out the pharmacy staff at the drugstore when they got my Parkinson's prescriptions wrong, they'd think, so much for bridling the tongue. If I slip up and address someone non-binary as he or she, they might think, see, Christians are just not intolerant. Whenever I travel abroad, I'm constantly aware of what much of the world thinks of Americans and try to be very careful about how I represent my country. How much more urgent must it be to represent the dominion of God in a hostile word? And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm 69, verses 1 through 23. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me, my enemies who accuse me falsely. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Do not let those who hope in you be put to shame because of me. O Lord God of hosts, do not let those who seek you be dishonored because of me, O God of Israel. It is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my kindred, an alien to my mother's children. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humble my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God. In the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. With your faithful help, rescue me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Do not let the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me, redeem me, set me free because of my enemies. You know the insults I receive and my shame and dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Insults have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table be a trap for them, a snare for their allies. Let their eyes be darkened, so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one live in their tents. And the moving forward statement for this Friday, consider this quotation attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi. You may be all the gospel your neighbor will ever read. The commentary for Saturday, November 11th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalm 76, verse 3. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of battle. Martin, 330 to 397 in the Common Era, a Roman soldier turned bishop, is remembered for his pursuit of justice and care for others. According to tradition, when he was serving in the army, he cut his coat in half to share with a beggar. By some accounts, Martin dreamed of Jesus wearing the other half, while others claim that when he awoke from a vision, the cloak was restored to wholeness. He saved prisoners and heretics alike from torture and execution. His advocacy for others became so well known that allegedly some emperors and government leaders would refuse to see him, lest he would petition them for mercy on behalf of prisoners and those sentenced to death. As we commemorate Martin of Tours today, let us remember his steadfast faith and commitment to justice, his new weapons of battle, and become advocates for others. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel passage for this Saturday, November 11th, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. And the moving forward statement for this day is in light of Martin's witness. This is Martin of Tours that we celebrated today. Research organizations like Amnesty International or the Innocence Project. And now as we reach the end of the week on this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, November 12th. It is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the book of Amos in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Ever since the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. burned the last verse of this passage into the American conscience in his I Have a Dream speech, it has been one of the most cherry-picked verses in Scripture. Before demanding a flood of justice and righteousness, God essentially says, "Shut it down. I hate your overly precious worship and your liturgy for the sake of appearance. When I come, it will be with fangs and claws. Get out there and love your neighbor." Worship is our gift at the altar, and Jesus says to be reconciled to our brothers and sisters before offering our gifts. Over and over in Scripture, God rejects our worship when we ignore justice. Until we let justice roll down like waters, our songs are noise in God's ears. Now the full passage of Amos 5, 21 through 24. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And now I'll read from the Gospel for this 24th Sunday after Pentecost, Sunday, November 12th. It's from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came, also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And the moving forward question for this day refers back to the passage in Amos. Read the entire passage of Amos and reflect on its meaning and its implications. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.